This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Euclid Ave, Carnegie, Huff Heights, East Cleveland, you know what I'm saying, the Q. If it's Cleveland, it's real, and we out here in the conversation.
King James!
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of D, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah. It's in the conversation. It's Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right hand side, I got
El Coronel Vladimir Camaño.
And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
We all good up
excited,
in here.
Excited, man.
You excited?
Great.
Yes, sir.
Highlight of my week.
That's good to hear, man. I'm glad that that's still going on, man.
I think people be waiting with bated breath to see if Vlad gonna actually come in when you say that.
Right. Yeah, because it is a wild card. It is a wild card.
I'm over here.
It's a thing.
I'm over here in L.A., I'm in L.A. Closet Studios, baby.
Broom Closet Studios. Yeah.
Broom Closet in warm, sunny L.A., baby. Warm.
See how he started breaking up when he tried the hot sign on
us? Off that bullshit. Yeah.
Warm.
That was that breeze. Warm. So get out of here with that shit.
Watch out now.
Warm.
Don't shit on your hometown.
How's the holiday spirit feel out there in L.A.? Is it holiday
spirit? Great, man.
How's it feel different?
Well, for one, I'll be in New York next week, and my mother called me, and she said, it is brick.
Yeah, it's cold.
So I call her just so I can feel better about myself.
Okay.
Congratulations, player.
I think I didn't even answer the question.
Yeah, man.
But we'll move the holiday spirit question till later on. I was asking you how the holiday spirit was in L.A. How's that different?
Oh, it's great. It's great, man. It's great. It's great. It's different. It's great, though. Like, you know, they got a supplement. The winter vibe, because they ain't really got a winter.
Uh-huh. So what do they do?
They got a little extra. Like, if you go to the Grove, they got a little snow. They got a little snowmen. You know, they got to really sell you on the design of Christmas.
So fake snow?
Yeah, you know, fake snow. They put a little...
mall snow.
On the streets?
Snow.
Outside?
Right.
No, at the mall.
No, at the Grove.
But the Grove is outside.
Yeah, so...
No, I'm giving you an example of what Christmas looks like out here. Like, they'll have designated places where they give you the Christmas feel.
Right.
No, but a display. Saying, yeah, there'll be a display outside.
With fake snow.
Right.
With fake snow.
Fake snow.
Fake
like
snow,
a lot,
right.
like a lawn of fake snow. That's what
it's
I want to
not
know.
Not that big. It's a little gate. A little fake snow.
Oh, like a little gate, but like some fake snow. Not even real snow.
No ice. No
okay.
Ice.
All right. No, all right. No. All right. Like the mall. Like a regular mall.
Yeah. Like a regular
mall. Right.
Interesting. All right. I'm just curious about that. I've never been anywhere warm during Christmas. I was trying to do that this year, but I've never been anywhere warm during the Christmas holiday. So,
I'm from where it's warm during Christmas.
Oh, right.
You know, you get by. You know what I'm saying? Once everybody get into the spirit, you know what I'm saying, they start, like, we talked about this before. Once they start playing the OJs and shit, Saturday night, you know it's Christmas.
Right.
You know what I mean? They probably still play the OJs and all them old school soul Christmas songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You in the Christmas spirit yet?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't celebrate Christmas.
In the holiday spirit? Right, true indeed. But you just said you get your holiday spirit.
I was just creating the framework for what we're talking about.
So how's this affects you?
Well, my wife celebrates Christmas.
Right.
So it affects me in the pockets. It affects me that, you know what I'm saying, I support them celebrating and having, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying, buying gifts and, you know. Uh-huh. But we usually do the actual Christmas part at her mother's house in Atlanta.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we take it on the road. We take this tour on the road.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's never like a tree in the house?
It hasn't been.
Okay.
We had one year we had a little Charlie Brown tree.
Okay.
But because we wasn't going to be here on Christmas.
Right.
I contemplating doing one this year. I still might.
Right. You got a tree, Chris?
Nah, we haven't gotten one.
Nah.
Sometimes we will, but the apartment's small. We'll get like a little, you know.
Right, little joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we get it. I was supposed to get one. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens now. What we got, 10 days still?
Yeah.
10 days is enough time to have a little something.
Yeah, you keep it up to the new year.
Yeah. It's true. You can keep that shit up to the new year. You got a tree, Vlad? You getting a tree out there in L.A.?
This is a point of conversation for me because I don't like the whole idea of setting up transitional decorations.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Transitional decorations. Go ahead.
I don't like it. So I'm concerned about when I finally get into a relationship, when that finally happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a point of debate because I don't want to set up no tree and then have to take it down. That's not, you know, I can't stand that.
Why? What's wrong with transitional decorations?
You know, it takes up storage space.
Not if you get a real tree. You know,
like when I was looking at it as a kid, like my father would have to help set it up. Every time I looked at it, I was like, it's a countdown for this thing to come off.
No doubt. During the time that it's up, you know, people are having a good time looking at it. And if it's real, you smell it. Like, I don't celebrate Christmas, but I enjoy the smell of a Christmas tree when you come to somebody's house and they got it set up.
The real shit.
You know, the real with the real shit, and you smelling like pine up in that motherfucker, and they got the little lights and shit. You feel different than your normal day of your everyday life.
Christmas got the best propaganda.
No doubt.
That's shit, I think, by far. Their propaganda is crazy. I mean, as I get older, I fuck with Thanksgiving, but
that's one. That's talking about transitional. That's one day.
Yeah,
Christmas is a season.
Yeah,
I have a question. Is what? Christmas how big is Christmas globally? You know what I mean? Like, outside of Western societies, like is it Christmas in I'm being ignorant, maybe, but is it Christmas in other parts of the
Christmas,
world?
A lot of Christians in the world, buddy.
Yeah, it's Christmas all over. You see it. Like, you never see them when they do the little trees all around the world and things of that nature. They do. Yeah,
man,
Christmas.
It's billions of Christians, man.
Okay.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for me right now, I got my little studio. I'm not doing no Christmas tree. Maybe I'll change later.
Do you celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, you know what's funny, man? As I've gotten more mature, my family kind of, We lost the investment in it. Like, I went to college, and my brother was away for a little bit. We're not really into that holiday spirit too much, man. We're not.
Right. True indeed.
Like, well, you know, like we'll get together. We'll go to City Island, get something to eat, but we won't, like, exchange gifts or nothing like that.
Okay, so you're not really celebrating.
Okay.
But I just did a little Chris research on y'all. And as of 2010, Christianity was by far the world's largest religion, with an estimated 2.2 billion Christians.
Wow.
So yes, they celebrate that shit all over.
That's crazy. Well, anyway, yeah. So I guess shit don't even sound Christmas spirit.
Listen, don't let us screw your Christmas.
Oh no,
Christmas
I'm chilling.
How you doing with it, man?
I haven't gotten all the way in it yet.
You getting your gift giving? I'm gonna do some
gift giving, but
a thoughtful gift giver.
Well, thank you. I like to think so, but it depends. If I get enough time, if I have the time, I'm one of these people. I'll come up with the idea of a gift well before. You know what I mean? Because gift giving shows that you pay attention to people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So somebody might say something in the conversation, be like, "Okay, I know," or you come across something and be like, "Oh, okay, this will be ill."
Right.
You cop it then for later.
Right.
If you're mindful.
And if you got the money.
I mean, that put that at the top. And then if you're mindful. Well, if the thought counts when you don't have the money, they'd be like, you know what I seen? You might want to check out.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Listen.
I would have got it for you,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, listen. One day.
That thing was $600. Ooh.
But yeah, that shit was a little pricey. But no, it's just sometimes I'll just make the note and I'll forget. Or, you know, like, one, it doesn't really feel like Christmas right now. It's not any snow on the ground. I was in an Uber. They were playing heavy Christmas music, but that was about the only real. I mean, I guess it's popping up. I'm seeing people decorate.
Yeah. You know,
the streets is decorated.
The streets is decorated. Chicago got snow. Detroit got snow.
New York had a little bit of snow.
New York had a little snow sprinkle.
A little sprinkle.
That turned into rain.
But it hasn't really hit me yet.
Right.
It hasn't hit me yet. Maybe because we don't have a tree up or some shit like
you ain't
that
got
or
no
whatever.
Kids asking for gifts. That's
a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. Because that shit is definitely a kid-centric situation.
Yeah, that's where it hits you.
Yeah.
In the pockets.
Yeah. And anyway, yeah.
I'll say this, man. You guys know what one of the hot items is this year?
I know exactly what that Hatchin thing.
The who?
Hatchin.
Oh, never mind. There's some toy out there. You know what I'm talking about?
Nah.
What is that?
Hatchimal or some shit like that. Some type of Hatchimal toy. That's like
the pet rock of the year?
Yeah, it's the pet rock. It's the one thing to get.
Pet rock.
Well, remember back in the 70s, the pet rock, I think, was like a big thing. You remember how the koosh ball was a big thing or Tickle Me Elmo was a big.
Cabbage Patch.
There's always, and actually, one of these sites, I'll put it up on the Facebook page. But one site did that. They did all of the gift of that year, like all of the hardest to get gifts of that year that defined each year. They put them in a list. And what I saw, though, which was weird, I didn't realize this. Nintendo came out in 1988.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Game Boy came out in 89. And then I think Super Nintendo came out in 90 or maybe 91. I just feel like, I didn't know it was that concurrent. I felt like I had a couple years with an Nintendo. I probably did because I was broke.
Yeah, but you didn't get that shit right when it dropped.
Yeah, but I just felt like even marketing-wise, I felt like the impact. I felt like maybe it was just a year, but it just felt like when that Game Boy came, it was a whole nother thing. I felt like cats had some time to sit with Nintendo.
A whole nother Christmas.
Yeah, I guess so. But that was interesting.
And back then, you know what I'm saying, the hype came when it came. It wasn't like you had to live with the hype like now with the internet. Like, the hype is always there because it's rumored to be that the Nintendo 2 is coming. And then, you know what I'm saying? You can't get into you can't get into your 1 before they start teasing the 2.
Yeah. I think the hype is definitely more ever present. But I don't think it's any more powerful.
Mm-mm.
It's just that, you know.
It's just that it's always there.
It's a new platform.
Back then, you had to wait. You know what I'm saying? You had to wait to hear about it, wait till it hit the newspaper.
Right.
With the catalog.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, when you start doing your catalog shopping.
Right.
Ooh, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get none of that shit.
Christmas used to be the shit as a kid.
Not really.
I mean. for the Christians, it was cracking. How about you, Chris? Oh man! But you were saying, well, go ahead, Vlad. I cut you up. We were talking. You were talking about.
No, I was talking about the Nintendos. That the old school Nintendo. They're bringing it back. You know, like not bringing it back, but the
emulator.
They're bringing back the emulator. Yeah, no, yeah. It's been like hard to get. And, yeah. And then also
nostalgia.
Those Space Jams are also a big holiday list too.
Oh yeah.
Didn't you do like an unboxing or some shit?
Uh-huh. I did unboxing, baby. I copped. I was on the phone with D doing a play-by-play.
Where?
Yeah.
How was it? How'd it feel?
Yeah, the day of.
How'd it feel?
Tell a story. Tell a whole entire story. It's a lot.
So it's 7 a.m. on Saturday the 10th, and I feel like I'm doing the first 48, and I get a text from D. He's like, yo, wake up. You know, the 11th is dropping. And I wrote back. I said, I'm already up, player. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get lucky with the online shopping situation.
Right.
I got passed on. Tried a couple sites. D tried a site for me. It didn't go well. I go to the Nike store, and I get my wrist badge, wristband, to let you know that you're in line for the sneaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get my turn. I'm ready. I'm like, yo, you got 9.5? He's like, we sold out.
Ooh. Continue. What happened?
then I go.
He forgot he was telling the story.
No, then I go. What size do you have left? He's like, we had a 10.5. He says anything between 8 and 10 is gone. Right.
Damn.
I said, let me get 10.5. So I cop a 10.5, knowing that I could flip it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I said, and I called D. I was like, D, I'm gonna flip these and buy myself a pair.
Right.
Which is what I ended up doing. Because I was like, I know he's going to flip. So I ended up selling my pair.
Right.
I bought a pair for $220, and I flipped it the same day for $450.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you get yours for?
I bought mine for $330.
Oh, all right. So you came out on top. I mean, you know.
I came out on top, which is a risk because a couple of things are going on. One is you got to make sure the shoe's hype enough is enough for you to be able to resell it, right? That's the first piece.
Uh-huh.
And then two, you got to be able to buy it back either for what you sold it for or less. You could actually come out, you know, come out winning.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's just so many fucking hoops.
And it was a lot of loops, but as I told Damien on the phone, I only did it because it's an 11, the one shoe line that I'm crazy about.
So once you finally got your size in your hands, how did it feel?
It was like, it was one of those things, man. I was happy that that as an adult, I executed.
Okay.
I executed. I had a plan in place. I mean, D, I was talking to you about it for like 2 weeks now?
Yeah, probably. I guess so.
2 weeks? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I told you like a month ago. I was like, yo, I'm copping these sneakers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I had a plan and I got them despite all the competition for it felt great.
There it is. How about
you
that?
Did it, son.
There it is.
You did it.
You know what I mean?
It felt great. It felt great.
You beast. Niggas get shot every day, B.
You know what I mean?
You got them shits.
Got them. Saw them in your sights. Got them. And you said, no, I will not be stopped. I will be
will
fresh.
Not be stopped, man.
I will have some sneakers.
No doubt.
And then Damien.
And you can apply that shit to everything in your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is the funny part about Damien's text. This is how it's crazy. I was looking for like emotional emotional support. This is funny. And Damien would give me one word responses or like small responses. I'd be like, Damien, yo, I really want these 11s. And he'd write back.
Bet.
I feel you.
I'm saying, I don't know what to say. You got to try.
Hey, in fact, I'm going to go back and read some of the text over because I got it right here. Damien is hilarious. I was trying to get him to, like, you know, support a brother. You know what I mean?
I didn't know you was looking for support. I was just trying to, you know. I didn't think it was going to be that hard, to be totally honest with you. Everybody was telling me that this one wasn't going to be so hard. I mean, I know the 11s are always the big release. The 11s and maybe the 1s and sometimes the 3s. But over this past year, a lot of shit has been sitting. Them True Blue 3s are still sitting. And people they were going crazy for those. What else sat? I mean, it's a few different things that have sat on the shelves this year.
The
playoff 9s are sitting on the shelf.
Man, they had their run, man. They had a strong run.
Yeah.
The only ones I'm interested in right now, after the ones, I got the ones. I'll probably get another pair of them at some point. But is the all black fours. That's it.
All black?
Well, the black fours, rather.
With the gray?
Yeah, with the gray.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think
the thing about Jordan. There's always that, you know, for me, there's always that other one pair that I want. Like, I try to cut my list down. Because it is what it is, but it's still the completest in me. I'm still like, oh, I kind of did want that. As soon as I get it, though, it don't mean shit no more. It's like, it is what it is. The sneaker is like, all right, I got it.
Right.
It feels good to acquire it. Like Vlad says, see it all the way through. It's a grail. It's an accomplishment. But after that, it's a fucking sneaker.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to see some other shit to accomplishment, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm see this.
So I text
aim higher, next from sneakers to pants.
I texted you a photo of the line.
Yeah.
And mind you, there were off-duty cops on the line trying to get kicks.
That's hilarious.
And I texted you a photo of the line, and he writes back, doesn't look too bad.
It didn't look that bad.
Hold on. I keep going. I said, D, it's material, but man, I wanted these 11s. I said, I'm going to cop the 10.5 and see if I can resell them. He writes back, damn.
Wait, can I ask?
Then I write. I cop the 10.5. He writes. They will restock, I'm sure.
Because I was sure. I'm thinking, give it next week. Them shits will be right back. I heard they made a million pairs. From what I know.
Are you out doing something, Damien? Or are you just at?
I can't remember where I was at. I might have just been on the couch.
Right.
But you know, like.
But in the grand scheme of things, this shit wasn't affecting his life. Like,
nah, it was. You know.
Like, okay.
I was hoping I could do nothing. I did what I could.
And then I said, it's the best option right now. I wouldn't do these if these were not 11s. He writes back, I hear you.
Hey,
I hate you.
See, that's that shit right there that you don't do with your wife.
Oh yeah.
She be hit yours. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
Come
right.
home and cuss your ass out.
Hilarious.
Then this is the last one I leave. I said, all things being said, I got lucky. I will get them. It will just take a little bit longer. He writes back, true.
That's the classic black man response.
Because that's what it is.
Affirmative.
True. Keep the faith. True. Shit gonna happen for you.
That shit mean anything. True is like shit.
You know what
that
man?
Shit can mean any goddamn
true.
Word.
You know what I mean?
You all right, Trev?
But you know what it means.
And
you,
meanwhile, Ali, meanwhile, I didn't even say this. He opens up the entire conversation with a picture of his box of the 11.
That ain't how it opened up. I hit
yes,
you. I
did.
Said, no,
yes,
I did,
you did.
Not.
Yes, you did.
I
yes,
said,
did.
It not open. I said, yo,
I
did you get them? Did you get those? You said, did you? You asked me, did I get them? I said, yeah. That's what I showed you the photo.
So you had yours already laid out. You was good. So you was very, he did not give a fuck about your goddamn.
I was all lives matter
sentiments.
I was like, hey, it's fucked up out there, guys.
Yeah, hey, yo, B,
come
every
on.
Man for himself. Niggas don't get
Ali.
Shoes every day, B.
Make, yeah, woo.
Ali, hear this, Ali. I said, he sends me a picture of the box with the sleeve, right? Mm-hmm. And he writes, got him with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
and then I write, oh damn, that's dope. And he writes back, this is how humble, anti-humble this shit is. I go, damn.
See, that's what you're breaking up. Hold on.
Yeah,
see,
nigga, shot hate on the kid.
Start over. What you say?
I said, he sends me a picture, and I go, oh, damn, that's dope. And he writes back, I wore them already.
I did.
Hey, that's that emoji with the tongue out, the big.
That was a quiet stunt. That was a little stunt. Listen,
and
man.
And I said, comfortable, right? And he wrote back, yeah, they're not bad.
I was saying, though. What am I supposed to say?
They raggle.
They cool. They cool. That was my first 11.
Tight.
They cool.
I was so tight.
They cool. They cool. Because he gassed him. He was like, yo, the 11s is the most comfortable, you know, Jordan ever.
11, man.
I
11,
think 4.
11 too young for me, man.
I was kind of felt the same way, too, because it's very patent leather.
Yeah, it's very,
I wasn't,
you know what I'm saying?
Patent leather always makes me kind of think twice.
Yeah, that's very not grown man sometimes.
It's very aggressive. It's very hey, you know what I'm got saying? Patent leather on.
Bird.
You know, so if you try to be
subtle.
Thing,
thing D said was, so as you know, they got a bunch of, like, wool sneakers coming out now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he wrote back. I feel like Nike got a lot of wool laying around.
They do though. They doing wool everything. It looks ridiculous. They did a wool 11. No, they ain't even advertised that shit because they. Would you cop those? Would you cop the wool 11s?
Yeah, just a thin 11. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
They look like big ass socks.
That's why they make them shits for cats like that.
Yeah, he's an 11 enthusiast.
I know.
Oh man, that's good, man. That's how life got to be, man. You got to love what you love. What you got going on,
nice
Chris?
Things.
I was
going
to say, I saw Vlad posted a video on Instagram.
Unboxing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the sneakers. It's
right.
Not like my thing, but I was impressed with
the boxing.
Like the artistry of the whole thing.
Oh, it was
bananas.
Talk about it, Vlad.
Well, first of all, you know, the box has a sleeve with the Monstar trying to catch Bugs Bunny, basically.
Yeah.
Is that right, D?
I don't know what that is. I just know it's like a bunch of Bugs Bunny hands and, you know, made into the 23. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, and like, and that's just the sleeve. Like, that covers the actual box.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, the animation is wrapping around the number 45.
Is this, now, where would you rank this amongst your favorite Jordan releases that you own? Where would you put this?
Well, you know, number one is always the Concords. The
okay.
11
All
black
right.
and white boys. To me, that's number one. You can't go past that.
Okay.
And then second of those, you got to put the breads.
Okay. The bread what? The bread 11s?
Bread 11s. Bread 11s.
Okay.
And then third for me, I'll be honest with you.
Be honest.
Third for me goes between the Gamma Blue 11s.
Uh-huh.
And the Space Jams.
So what's third? You got to get one to one. It's only one person for third. One sneaker.
I think because of historical reasons, you got to go to Space Jam.
All right. There it is.
That's what I think. Those are my three.
Been said. There you go. All right, back. Muhammad, what's up with you, man? I feel like we ain't talking to you, man. What's going on?
I've been talking to you.
Oh, all right. Well, shit. What's cracking, man? Now, you know what? Because we talking. I'm talking to this man
over to the Brad Causer Studios and shit.
Yeah, in Broom Closet.
Yeah, Broom Closet, Brad.
What's cracking with you, man? You was
in
the Midwest.
I was in the Midwest, man. You know what I'm saying? I was out shooting the Thoughtful King documentary with Damani. You know what I'm saying? My man, rapper from Inglewood.
You
know what I'm saying? And it's interesting because, you know, he's an underground rapper, but he has such a rich life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of, you know what I'm saying? A lot of great connections, a lot of doing a lot of dope things and shit. So we went out to, first we hit the University of Michigan, and he spoke to a class, so we shot that.
For what? About what?
About hip-hop. It was a history of hip-hop class.
Oh, yeah?
At the University of Michigan.
That's
and so
up.
He basically went through his history and his timeline from, you know, starting to, you know, saying having his breakout songs that were running on the airwaves in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, a couple of classics he had out in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
to his change in style,
mm-hmm.
breaking away from the more player stunting style to mm-hmm. more of a grown man type of effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because, you know, when you're in a class,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? The conversations get real, you know what I'm saying, studious.
Real academic.
Academic. And they right. very, you know what I'm saying, and they study and, you know, they fucking hitting you with the questions that, you know what I'm saying, it's like, you know, you're usually hearing these types of questions about music because it's usually just a casual conversation
right.
between your boys.
They treating it like a high art.
It is. It's a high, to, you know, it's a high art. It's being studied.
Right.
So, you know, we shot that and then we interviewed the guy who taught the course, who invited him out. So that was cool.
Who's that?
You know, you're going to get me lying on this.
All right, shout out to you. Shout out to Professor.
You're going to get me lying and shit.
My man, Professor.
Which y'all know at the University of Michigan, teach the history of hip hop. Y'all know him.
You know him, Professor.
So it was cool, man. And then we shot down. We left there in the nick of time before it started snowing too crazy.
Uh-oh.
And hit down. We hit Cleveland. And interviewed Tyronn Lue, which is coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which was one of his homeboys who he met, you know, when Tyronn first touched down in L.A., when he got drafted in L.A.
How do they know each other?
When he first got drafted. See, Damani was the point guard for the high school that him and Paul Pierce went to.
Okay.
And so he was nice.
Right.
Apparently he was real nice. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a documentary on so many niggas in the world. He was nice. That's just real talk. Go ahead.
So you know what I'm saying? When Paul went to the league, you know what I'm saying, Damani kinda went with him.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't go play in the league.
It was just his man.
It was his man from Inglewood and shit, who brought him to the Rogers Park and had him playing out there. So, you know what I'm saying? Him and Paul Pierce was real cool. So Paul is in the documentary.
Okay.
But from there, he met a lot of cats. You know what I'm saying? He worked with KG right now, Kevin Garnett. You know what I'm saying? But when Tyronn Lue got drafted to the Lakers,
right?
It was a lockout year. So Paul Pierce was home. And Tyronn knew Paul Pierce from playing because I think Tyronn Lue went to Nebraska and Paul Pierce went to Kansas.
Okay.
So he knew him from that league,
right.
from that, you know what I'm saying, from that that particular
conference. Okay.
So when he touched down in L.A., he was like, shit, I know Paul.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we went to hang out with Paul and then him. So Damani and Paul and Tyronn and his cousin hung out every day and played ball and ran, you know what I'm saying, ran games together, you know, keeping in shape during the lockout.
Right.
So they became, you know what I'm saying, they became boys. So I've been hearing him talk about Tyronn for a long time, and then when he went to Cleveland, he was one of the assistant coaches.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, my man just got a job in Cleveland, man, so you know what I'm saying? It's going to be on. And then, he became the motherfucking coach.
In the motherfucking year.
In the year that, you know what I'm saying, they took it to the championship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he has a legendary, like, you know what I'm saying? He's not a guy that you would know his name off top. You know what
well,
I'm saying? As a player off, like, he's not top of mind.
The one thing you would know is not the
step,
best
thing. The step over.
The step over.
But his rookie year, he got a ring.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Then the year after that, you know what I'm saying? I guess they skipped the year, then the next year, he got another. So in his first 3 years in the league, he had two rings.
Uh-huh. And his first, 2 years as a coach, he got
first
a ring.
First year as a coach, he got a ring.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? He got like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a magical career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But so how'd the conversation go? What y'all talk about?
We talked about music. It was really about music. It was about, you know what I'm saying, you know, their relationship and music. But really, you know what I'm saying, the interesting part was just being around the cat, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, you see cats on TV, you see them coaching and shit, you see them in their press conferences and they do their thing, but when you round them in real life, you know what I'm saying, you get to see who they are and, you know, how they really roll and shit.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this dude, like, he a real studious sports dude, you
right.
know what I'm saying? So, like, it's no bullshit like he coaching the team.
It, right.
It's not no like
makes sense.
No motherfucking it ain't no surprise.
Okay.
Like when you see him coach, like we went to the game And you see him coaching, like most times the assistant coaches be writing up plays.
Right.
This motherfucker is writing up the play. He in it. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker is for real. He a real deal motherfucker, man. So I was surprised. You know what I'm saying? I was surprised to be around a dude that was so studious about the game.
Uh-huh.
Cause you know, you think, okay, we won the game, shit, you know?
Yeah. So you went to the game and everything?
Yeah, we went to the game. It was two, they had two games while we were there. So we went to, they played the Heat and then they played Charlotte. So went to both games. Then hung out with him afterwards, you know what I'm saying?
Cool, you filmed this and all that?
No, not the games. We just filmed the interview.
Okay.
We just hung out at the games. Then, you know what I'm saying, hung out with my cousin. You know, my family from Cleveland, so I hung out with my cousin out there.
Uh-huh.
And that was real shit.
Yeah. That's what's up.
So, you know.
You seen Bron get busy or?
Yeah, we seen Bron get busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's interesting. I'm totally not the go-to-the-game ass nigga.
Why not?
Because I just don't really go to the games.
Why is that? Let's talk about that. It sounds like a transitional furniture or transitional. What's? Why wouldn't you go to the game? Because
no, it's not that I wouldn't go to the game. It's just I'm not in the culture of the game.
Right.
Like the game has its own culture.
Absolutely. Talk about it.
I'm in the motherfucking game watching the shit on the big screen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of it's right here on the court, but I'm looking at the screen like shit.
Right.
It look more comfortable on the TV.
Yeah.
Than it do in real life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The cats look way different in real life than they do on the screen, you know what I'm saying?
What do they look? Do you realize how fucking big
how
these
big
motherfuckers
are? Like, they just motherfuckers big as fuck.
Niggas is freaks.
I didn't even know J.R. Smith was that tall.
Yeah, was he like 6'1"? He's only 6'1".
Nah, he like 6'5" or some shit like that. Like, yeah, I thought he was about 6 feet, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, he a big dude.
Yeah, these motherfuckers is fucking like, you know, they ain't no regular motherfuckers. He's fucking 7 feet tall.
You know what I'm saying? He's 6'6".
Yeah, okay. See, like, I thought
that's
he
ridiculous.
His proportions make him look like he about 6'1",
right.
6'2", maybe.
Right.
That motherfucker's a big motherfucker.
Y'all was up close?
Yeah, it was up. We was in, you know, we was guests of Tyronn Lue.
So y'all was on the wood?
Nah, we weren't on the wood, but we was a few rows back.
Because it's a culture to this whole shit.
It's definitely a culture.
I haven't done it either, but I mean, I've been to a couple live games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different thing. I kind of like a live setting. It is weird to, like, negotiate if I'm gonna look at, depending on your seats, obviously,
right.
But it's weird to negotiate. Am I gonna look at the screen or am I gonna look at what's going on?
Right.
And there is a moment where the shit is fucking overwhelming.
Right.
Like, you're like, this shit is for real.
And then you got the, you know what I'm saying? So, being guest of
right.
Mr. Lou, we come through the tunnel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
We parking in the back. And that's his own culture.
So you coming through the same tunnel LeBron and them coming through.
And we parking in the garage where LeBron and them at.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that was a whole thing. And then after the game thing, and then the people who hang around and the people that's there, and you know what I'm saying? And you get to see, you know what I'm saying, Teyana Taylor come out with, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like a whole thing with
you,
the baby.
It's like an employee entrance. You see the real shit.
Yeah, did Khloe Kardashian at that shit. It was crazy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's Go ahead.
Tell us a little bit more about, elaborate on Teyana Taylor. How did she come out?
No, she just came out the game like a regular motherfucker, man, you know. She was going home.
Okay.
It was after work for them, you know what I'm saying? It was just special to me. For That's them, crazy. It was after work. Like,
what's Khloe doing there?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Tristan Thompson.
Oh, who's that? That's from the Heat?
Nah, from Cleveland.
Oh, okay. I heard his name before.
The big center. Like, you know,
okay.
he just got the big money.
That, oh,
he,
oh,
now,
damn.
Now she done locked in with this
wow.
cat. So she there, like she there.
Khloe moved fast.
Up in Cleveland. I'm like, I thought that shit was some press shit. That shit was real life.
Man. Shit, if it's Cleveland, it's real.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker in Cleveland.
This ain't no LA shit. She done went to the middle of the motherfucking Americas.
Yeah, so that shit was, you know what I'm saying? That shit was eye-opening. But
that ring, boy. Woo.
But you know, it you know what I'm saying? It was a good time, man. It was a
That's
good
what's
time.
Up, man.
Yeah,
man. That's what's up. Did you get any other, like, any? So you got, did you come back inspired by anything?
I always come back. I went to saw my cousin Chris, you know what I'm saying? I'm always inspired by him because,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? He one of them true self made motherfuckers, you know what
right.
I'm saying? That really did it, you know what I'm saying? That really made it and did real shit. Not shit that you could actually always just see,
mm-hmm.
but that shit that you want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker with an 800 something credit score type nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? The motherfucker that can really go get shit when he want it because he can. And he done handled his business. And motherfucker that pay his motherfucking taxes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When they motherfucking do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So...
That's how you know you're doing well. When you pay your taxes in a quarterly fashion.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? So to when we kick it, you know what I'm saying? Because we grew up together. And, you know, we I could see it come from where it was to where it's at.
Right.
And it's real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? He don't really flex. He don't really do a lot of shit. But, you know what I'm saying? He just bought a real car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you get?
It's a real car. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's the new Benz Cabriolet. But then they got a... They got the S550 version of it, drop top.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got the S63 version, drop top.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the limited edition. They only made 130 of them, drop top cab. It's like the big body drop top.
But
Benz.
Like a cabriolet with a drop.
With, yeah, it's
you
the big
go to
body
Google
vert.
For this one.
Yeah, it's a big body vert.
And that's when you stunting when you send niggas to Google.
Yeah, because I ain't seen it on the streets out here yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's true.
So you know what I'm saying? You getting the shit and the seats hugging you and shit and the seatbelt come on by itself and
you know what you doing?
You know what I'm saying? What's
seats
up?
Hug you like an aunt.
What's up, Mr. Muhammad?
Mm-hmm.
Turn that bitch on and start growling and shit. So that's always inspiring to come back, you know what I'm saying, after fucking with him because I know he came. And he made that shit happen, you know what I mean?
Right, that's what's up. That's what it is. Oh, man, speaking of.
What does he do? Yeah.
Oh, he has a construction company out there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they build houses and build shit, and you know what I'm saying? And, like, it was funny, we was talking about Christmas, and we was talking about, you know what I'm saying, how, you know, Christmas was always, like I said, always kind of fucked up. And then he was like, well, shit, now Christmas is good. You know what I'm saying? I would get to
is he Muslim or no?
Nah. She's like, shit, I get to ride around in my new Hot Wheel now. You
right,
know what
right,
saying?
Right, right, right. Hilarious.
like, you know, shit, everybody get their turn. And you know what I'm saying? That's some shit you got to take to heart. Everybody get their turn. If you waiting on your turn, you know what I'm saying? Keep working. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Then you'll have a good Christmas.
You know, so funny, speaking of a good Christmas, this is definitely TV good Christmas. But I was walking out down the block one day. Going to catch a train, and it was fucking a downpour.
Mm-hmm.
And outside, like, one apartment building, I'm on my way to the train, outside one apartment building, was, like, a car, a brand new car, with one of them big-ass red bows on. Like, somebody, you know, somebody bought this car, was ready to get the reveal on. Fuck if it rained or shine, nigga, this shit going, this is a moment.
Exactly.
And it was just, like, I wanted to wait to see the whole moment, motherfucker, maybe come out with the umbrella, like, yeah, look at, you know, but it was... I've only seen that on television, you know? Like, I've never seen that in real life. Right. Somebody put the big-ass bow on the car as the gift. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I think for me, if I ever got a gift like that, man, like, if somebody ever gave me a car, my first question would be like, wow, thank you. And then I would go, so what are the monthly payments looking like?
But, you know.
Yeah. I
mean. But you the motherfucker that's going to be giving away cars.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, man.
Get that type of shit to your lady. Nobody don't get no nigga no car with a bow on it.
Well, you know, that's the weirdest shit. Because it's a lot like Drake bought 21 Savage a Ferrari.
With a bow on it?
I don't know if he put a bow on it, but even if you... Why are you buying another dude a car?
Because he putting him up on the next level. Because 21 Savage probably made him a lot of cheese on that last record.
With that sneaking record?
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying?
I guess that's hip-hop stuff. That just seems too... That seems a little too
game
weird.
Game bought Puff a car? A Ferrari?
Yeah, I don't like... It feels weird. I don't want another dude
that's
buy
just,
me
that's
a
just,
car.
That's just letting you know I could do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody else could do it really like this. And you shit, I made a lot of money off you last year, man.
Feels weird.
Baby gave Wayne a
it
car.
Feels weird. It feels very baby
but,
Wayne.
But you know what I'm saying? Don't really expect no grown ass man to buy you no car.
That's what I'm saying. But even how do you handle that when it's happened? For a grown man to say, yo, Ali, I wanted to see you in this Porsche 911. Here the keys. It's all you. You all good
I'm
with it?
I'm rolling, nigga.
I felt like one is weird. It's a weird energy. But then two, I also feel very indebted to a buffer. Like, damn, dude, I done let. And but also, see, let that man buy his own first Ferrari.
And that's really the thing is like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker want to buy his own shit. You ain't got to buy me shit. But at the end of the day, when you in that position and that money shit is a whole nother.
Yes.
The whole money shit is just, you know what I'm saying, some transitional shit, as fucking Vlad would say. if your bag is $500,000 a night,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You got a hit with 21 Savage,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You do a couple shows and shit. You like, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with 21 Savage, and you drop $150 out your bag on the little car. It ain't, it, you know what I'm saying? It's a Hot Wheel to you at that point.
I guess it's a different culture.
It's a whole different culture.
It's
a whole different culture when you playing with them bags that's big like that. It's a whole different culture.
Yes.
Well, what would you be comfortable buying somebody? Like, say you, like I always said, you make $1 million a week or something.
Yeah. I'd be more thoughtful than just a car. I don't know. A car is cool, I guess, maybe. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know their relationship. It just, but it makes me wonder what their relationship
you
is.
You think they fucking?
I don't know. But I don't, you know what I mean? Somebody might think they fucking. You give me a fucking Ferrari. How you pull up? You go to your, you know what I mean? Imagine some nigga bought you a Ferrari and you go home with your wife and you say, yo, Drake
just bought me a Ferrari, baby.
Why?
What you had to do for Drake?
You know what I mean?
Shit, nothing. I mean, it was cool. Note to self.
And then it's also, then the funny shit is, it's that Ferrari that Drake bought you.
But what happened?
It's not even your Ferrari.
What happened? You eBay the shit and then get, instead of one Ferrari, you just get two Benzes.
All right. I'm not mad. You flip it.
You flip
just
it.
Keep it sensible.
Yeah, you flip
these
it.
These my Benzes.
These my Benzes. He ain't buy me these Benzes.
I think also, I'm worried about the callback. You know what I mean?
Like
if something goes down in the relationship, you know, like say you got some beef. Last thing you want is damn. And he bought you, and you bought him a car. You know what I mean? Like you don't want that.
That's the first thing they go to. And you know, I bought this motherfucker a Ferrari.
A car, yeah.
You kind of indebted, and then I never had a Ferrari before, so that feel like you indebted for the rest of your life. Cause I don't know.
I don't want that.
I didn't. You know,
is he signed to Drake?
I don't think so. I don't know.
He ain't got indebted. He ain't got no contract like Wayne.
I know. I'm just saying. Just feel weird. I don't know. Chris, would you let a guy buy you a Ferrari?
Well, not after this whole conversation.
No. Oh, man, don't be getting on that shit, man.
Nah.
If you work this UFC podcast to the hill and one of them motherfuckers win a fight, be like, you know what, Chris? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get you a Honda.
Why it got to be a Honda? No, let it be a Ferrari. Let it be a Ferrari still.
I don't know how much the UFC purses are, so I didn't want to go too far.
Depends who wins. But yeah, I mean, Yeah, I'd probably take the car, sure.
Gotta take it, give you a car.
Or Oprah gave you a car. You'll take that?
Oprah gave a bunch of people a
That's
car.
That's what I'm saying.
You know Oprah's no strings attached. You know what I mean? I'm worried about the strings. I'm worried about the strings. You don't just be giving motherfuckers a car with no strings. It's just all good. That's a different culture is what I'm saying. So maybe that's how they do in Canada. It's a different type of thing. Hey, mate, take a car. I said, mate, like he's
I'm just
from
saying,
Australia.
You are a thoughtful gift giver.
Right. Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And you had the bread.
Right.
You just hit, you know what I'm saying, that $60 million comedy special.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Would I get people cars?
No, not cars, but you might get extravagant in your gift giving because you got it. Because you got it and you had it for a few years. Everything you got everything you want. Shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I guess. I mean, I understand. I guess I get it. I just felt like that is a weird gift. Like, you know, certain things, like I see, for instance, like when supposedly the etiquette, I don't know if the etiquette, but it's one thing that's been, there's a common practice of when football teams win the Super Bowl, the quarterback buys his offensive line all Rolexes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they held them down.
No doubt.
You know, but it just feels real like, I don't know, it feels kind of, I don't want to say opportunistic. It just feels like, and maybe I'm too cynical and I'm not open to the thoughtfulness and the benevolence that is Drake, that is Aubrey Graham, but it just feels like you giving this cat starting to pop and it's like, let me get this man a Ferrari. You know what I mean? It's almost like, it's like pissing on a motherfucker at a certain
level. Putting him back in his place a little
bit. Right. Not even putting him in his place, but it's like, unless you could top a Ferrari, That's me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. I don't fucking know.
But I'm saying, say the Ferrari was $300,000 or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But Drake ended up making, you know what I'm saying, $4-5 million off the song. Then, shit, nigga.
Yeah, it's, but it's, then,
it's,
but
it's then motherfucking, he... my man, appreciate you, bro. You new in the game. Yeah, flex out, baby. You made it to the next level.
I guess. It's just a different culture. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, it'd be funny to be at that place where you get offended because you didn't get a car. Can you believe he didn't give me a car?
I don't know. It's a weird...
It's weird. We agreed that it's weird. We agreed that, you know what I'm saying, that don't let a motherfucker buy you no car, Vlad.
No, I would definitely buy my... You know, I think the only person I have in mind...
I buy my own damn car. Say what?
No, I buy my pops a car if I get to that point.
You know what? I guess, again, like, it's a cultural thing, and it's a different stratosphere, right? Because where we at in life, it's like, if we're going to buy a car, because not only is a car just a car, but a car is, there's a certain price point on just a car in general, right? So for you to go out your way and dig in your pocket, at this point in your life, it's got to be somebody that really means something to you. You could buy your mom's a car, you buy your pops a car, whomever. When money ain't a thing, you could buy anybody a fucking car, and it is what it is. It's just a car.
It's a gift.
You at that point where it's just a car, it's a gift.
It's a fucking gift.
Yeah, it's a gift. That's a hell of a fucking gift.
Yeah.
But then that's me, you know, that's me talking from my tax bracket.
But yeah, that's
come on, mate, you're not on my bracket.
It's like, okay. All right, so
I like cars and teams.
One of the first shits I shot as when we started the video company.
Right.
We shot this video for Lil Wayne, right? Mm-hmm. And Lil Wayne was still in jail.
I remember.
He was still in jail, and this one particular lady was writing him pretty much every day with inspirational quotes and Bible verses and shit.
Right.
And so towards the end of his stay, he felt like he wanted to do something for these people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What would mean something to y'all?
Right.
And so the lady was like, well, my mom is bedridden, you know what I'm saying, because she doesn't have the proper mobile device and blah, 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 blah. And Wayne said, hey, you know what? He called his manager. I want to buy this lady the Rolls Royce of mobile wheelchairs and shit.
Wheelchairs.
Right.
Yeah.
So he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got the call to go document it.
Right.
And we did. Now, this wheelchair was the equivalent. It was like a $30,000 wheelchair.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was the equivalent of a car. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Equivalent of, you know, like
a 0-60.
A Hyundai. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like a Kia.
But you're talking about price wise.
Yeah, but it was a 30,000.
It ain't that. It ain't that means, no horsepower.
No, yeah, it had horsepower. That shit got up. I forgot what the mile per hour it was, but this shit was fast.
Should a wheelchair go to where it becomes counterproductive? It's like, all right, your wheelchair don't. First of all, shout out to all the motherfuckers that be on the sidewalk with them fast ass wheelchairs. Stop fucking around. You go, don't do that shit. But go ahead back. Wayne did what?
So hey,
you gotta watch this video. It's really good. Put it up on the Facebook page.
All right, no doubt. So he bought her this fucking wheelchair, and she was able to leave the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she hadn't been out the house in about 3-4 years or some shit because she didn't have any way to walk, and you know what I'm saying? No way to, you know what I'm saying? She was kinda,
she didn't have a wheelchair.
She didn't. No, no.
She was bedridden.
She was bedridden.
Okay.
She had one that was broke.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
In shock.
I guess she was, you know what I'm saying? And then she couldn't get into a regular car. So, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, he got her this expensive ass wheelchair, man. And that shit was more like shit. It was like, it would have hurt me to have to go buy somebody a motherfucking Hyundai and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But for him, that was nice.
But it also make a lot of sense. He was in prison. She wrote him dedicated letters and letters and letters. And she was bedridden. So it was like, let me go ahead and give her a wheelchair.
No, not her. Her daughter was bedridden.
Oh, okay. Well,
her mother was bedridden.
All right.
The daughter was writing all the letters.
All right. It's fair enough. I just felt like, you know, 21 Savage could probably buy his
I think
own
when you get real rich, your gift giving is going to be a little different than you think.
Maybe. Because
you might connect with a motherfucker and give him some shit.
Would you let Drake give you a Ferrari? Let us know. Let us
you know.
Know
what the fucking answer to that shit is. Man, why are we answering that question?
What if Drake gave your lady, we'll give your wife a Ferrari?
Then it's going to be a motherfucking problem.
Can your wife accept a Ferrari?
It's going to be a motherfucking problem. It's going to be a motherfucking problem.
Why can't he accept a gift?
Because
he
can't.
It's a gift for what? Nigga. What the fuck you
give?
She's just doing good work in
good
the world.
Good work. Well, motherfucker.
She's being a kind
How
spirit.
The fuck you know?
I don't know. You know I don't know what they relationship.
You need to mind your own motherfucking business, man.
He can't
you
give
need to mind your motherfucking
he give
business,
you a Ferrari,
Drake.
But he can't give her a Ferrari.
Shit, Drake, you need to mind your business.
Could Drake give your lady a Ferrari, Chris?
Yeah, she'd take it. Yeah.
I hear that.
You need to mind your business, Drake.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Shout out. Speaking of.
Bringing my lady into this shit.
Speaking of.
Funny. Yeah, Drake. That's funny if she came home. Hey, baby, Drake gave me a Ferrari.
You know?
What?
Oh man. Speaking of
what?
Drizzy Drake.
You know. Speaking of money and weird relationships, Kanye West met with Donald Trump today. Vlad, what do you think?
You know, I'm starting to see all this like one big wrestling match. Uh-huh. WWF, man. You got your villains, you got your heroes, you got your referees, you got your commentators. That's what it looks like, man. And I've known this for a long time. Both Trump and Kanye are brilliant at manipulating that lens of the media. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To the point where you start taking it personally. It's like watching a wrestling.
Mm.
You know,
okay.
You hate certain characters. You hate, oh, I can't stand Andre the Giant. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love Hulk Hogan. He's the people's champion. So I think it's funny because I'm starting to realize, like, you guys take a step back. You're like, how invested should I get in this news? You know what I mean?
Right.
Is this even news? We're looking at two people who are very tactical and strategic about being disliked, and they use that for their publicity and their social media and their to get their agenda moving.
You think Kanye and Trump both use the fact that they're disliked to their advantage or to as an
100%, 100%.
Really? In what way? Like, what do you see that with Kanye in particular?
Well, Kanye got booed at the concert for saying that if he did vote, he'd vote for Trump.
Right.
He got booed, and then he ends up meeting with the guy.
Right.
You know,
well, he said he would vote for him. So, I mean, if he meets with him, it's still in accord with what he said. I would look at it crazy
smart,
if he was like, you know, I would never vote for him and he's going to meet him.
You know, it's a great way to draw attention to himself, though.
Well, does Kanye need to draw attention to himself?
Absolutely. That's part of his business.
Hmm. I don't know. What you think, Muhammad?
I just keep going back to that old conversation we had. Like, it's the society of the spectacle. Like, I don't even know. You don't even know what's real anymore.
Right.
But I mean, to be fair, I know this shit is, you know what I'm saying, Kanye is a spectacle. But to be fair, Trump is meeting with a lot of motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's in some type of power got to meet with Trump at some point.
Okay.
That means, you know what I'm saying, motherfucking Reverend Good Al Sharpton.
Did he meet with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at shit right now. Jim Brown and motherfucking Ray Lewis just met with
Trump. Trump's just meeting everybody he wanted to meet.
Trump meeting.
That's the shit about being a president. You know what I'm saying? Bring me.
Bring me.
You know what I mean? Tell Big Daddy Kane to come through. I want to talk to
him. Yeah,
I
fucks
brother.
With Big Daddy Kane.
I want to speak to him.
But you know what I'm saying? On one hand, a meeting with Trump don't mean shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But on the other hand, the opticals of it, you know what I'm saying, are just like they had in the Niggas in Paris song.
Uh-huh.
The opticals of Kanye West and Donald Trump. Kanye West's first optical out of the hospital uh-huh. is meeting with Trump.
Right. Well, when he went to the studio with Pete Rock.
Oh, ain't nobody seen that shit.
I saw it. Me and Pete Rock saw it.
Whatever.
Okay, keep going.
You know what I'm saying? The optical of that shit is provocative.
Right.
It gets the people going.
Got it.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, he to me, he just seems so lost in the sauce, man. He got the blonde hair.
Yeah.
He out here with Trump. He done been to the crazy house. He might need to relax. But he won't. He got shit to do. He got work to do. And he working y'all ass.
Yeah, I don't know. Why do cats always go to the blonde hair when they're coming out of some duress?
Hilarious.
Who else went to
Chris
the
Brown went blonde after all that shit popped off. Mm-hmm. Somebody else went blonde after some other shit. Like, somebody black went blonde.
Blondes have more fun.
I guess. They're trying to be optimistic.
Motherfucking, what's his name? Oh, he went green.
Who's that? Frank Ocean?
Yeah, Frank Ocean went green. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. These niggas is crazy.
It's to your point, Vlad, it's almost like, do you even want to invest the thought? Do you even want to get invested in giving a fuck about this shit?
Because, yeah, that's my point. Yeah, and it goes back to the video. You know, you shared a video about Denzel that I thought was kind of poignant.
Right.
Which is like, what's even, you don't even know what news is anymore.
Right. Because it's, well, you know, this feels like, this is going to be the most explicit to date merger of entertainment and politics. You know what I mean? Like, this cat comes from the reality show world. Like, for instance, he was meeting with Mitt Romney, who was a vocal critic of Trump, and then for the Secretary of State position, right? It was up in the air. He was being, air quotes, considered, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually they just said, nah, we good, blah, 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 we're going to go another direction. Mm-hmm. And then somebody in Trump's camp said, yo, we just met with him to fuck with him because he was talking all of that shit. So we brought him up here just to fuck with his head, to think we was fucking with him. But we just went, like, this nigga's on some super petty shit.
But ain't that what they all do?
I guess they all do.
They all be fucking with motherfuckers.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just that we see it, like, we're going to be seeing it now. And I realize now that, like, there had been this thing, I could only say for myself, that you kind of view the culture of politics, there needed to be some sort of decorum. People need to be politically correct. People need to, there was a standard of how you conducted yourself. Now, this shit is going to be a fucking, it's a train wreck now. Now it's going to be a reality show. Now it's going to be a bunch of people popping in. I mean, Kanye meeting with Trump, it is what it is. I don't think it's going to be any, you know, he said he was hitting him over the head with, like, he was talking about multicultural ideas, better schooling, invested in teachers, Chicago crime, all of that type of shit. I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, when he spoke to the news, he was just like, I wanted to get a photo.
You know who said that? That's what he said?
That's what Kanye, it was funny, too. There's this one little clip with him and Trump standing in front, and nobody said, look, Kanye's not saying anything. You know, Kanye get on this weird, I'm not saying anything shit. So he's taking photos of Trump and said a few things. And this one reporter, you can't see who she is, but you just hear her off the mic, off camera. She's like, Kanye West, you're having a meeting with the president-elect, and you know, what do you have to say? Like she got tight. What do you have to say? He was like, I just wanted to take a photo with him. And then he gave him a pound, and then they walked away. It's some weird shit, man. Bitch. It's like, this whole shit is weird. Everything is weird.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, this is the distraction. You know, Trump brought Steve Bannon, all these Roger Ailes. He's got all these media people that know how to manipulate the media. Ooh. And they're just like, go crazy. You know, like, he's naming all these insane people to be part of the cabinet, but that's not the story. You know, this is the shake and the rattle for everybody to pay attention to. But the real shit is, you know, not being paid attention to, which is what Denzel was talking about.
Right. Fucking, you know, either you're uninformed or you're misinformed. Denzel was talking that shit, boy. He felt like
Man. He was, you know, and then the big news is now is like they found out the Russians did in fact hack.
Yeah, I saw that.
To manipulate, you know, and then I don't know if you saw it's like a huge campaign to get the electors to not vote for Trump. So the whole thing has been a spectacle, man. Like, you know, it's been this total like paparazzi situation. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's real, man. It's the Matrix.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It's depressing.
Yeah, well, you know, nah, it ain't that depressing. It is what it is.
This old bullshit.
You know what though? We almost at the end of 2016.
Yes, sir.
And with that said, because we're going into a new
year. Did you have a good year?
I had a good year. I mean, despite everything, I feel guilty having a good year. So many people died this year. My year was cool. I made it through. God, you know, God willing, we ain't all the way through there yet. But so far, it was cool. Any year that I make it to the next year is a good year for me. There's some transitional years. There's some struggle years. Right, but if I make it to the year next, that's a good-ass year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
What about you? Did you have a good year?
Man, I had a good year, man. The summer of love really put me in a good energy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then my business started getting to a good place.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I had a great motherfucking fall. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Coming into 2017, pushing strong on some real shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I could say I had a good year, man. And, you know, outside of all of the outside shit going on. But inside, it's been all right, man. I can't complain.
That's what's up. That's what I get. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. I've had a good year. Professionally, getting married soon, so personally things are good. Yeah, it did have a good year. So
that's a player.
Vlad, you had a good year?
Yeah, I had a good year, man. This was one of the most spiritually enhancing growth years that I've had. So you know, I'm in a good place, man.
That's what's up. Well, yo, listen. Let us know if you had a good year, and also, since we're coming to a close of 2016, let us know what one of your favorite episodes of 2016 was in the comments, man. We always like to hear from y'all. But until then, Muhammad, where you about to be?
Man, I'm about to be in the laboratory. Oh, actually, I'm in D.C. tomorrow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Kicking down in D.C., then I'm back. I'm in the lab, you know what I'm saying? Dropping shit down. New Just Being Black. We editing in that now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Got a couple of thorough TV projects we dropping down. but other than that, man, you can catch me at Mr. Muhammad on the gram, at Thorough TV on the snap. And shit, that's where we going to be.
Vlad, where you going to be at?
I'm going to be, I'm local. I'm in L.A. this week. I'm doing some video work. And then I'm in New York next week, so.
All right. That's what's up. Where am I? I'm in the city, man, but you catch me at Stand Up New York on Thursday the 15th. I'm on the 10 p.m. show. Check that out. I'll also be at the Stand on Monday on the 8 o'clock show, so you can check me out there. And, you know, as always, you catch me right here. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We out.
Yeah.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.